Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live January, no.
February 2nd of 06.
Groundhog Day.
You know what else today is?
What's the name? Puxatani or something? Whatever. The pig comes out and sees his shadow and gets scared. I don't know if he saw a shadow, nor do I care. Whether there's six more weeks of winter or not, doesn't matter to me. I'm going to keep going anyway.
Okay. Do you know what today is for me?
Today is for you the beginning of the rest of your life.
I've been here 5 months now today.
5 months?
Yeah.
And what have you gotten accomplished so far?
I've learned quite a bit.
Yeah? You've done quite a bit, too.
Yeah, we've done a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We are the folks at Creation Science Evangelism in Pensacola, Florida, who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. The Earth is not billions of years old. It was made in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago, just like the Bible says. And we believe the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in history of planet Earth. That is fun to say. And you can join us on the program here three different ways now. One, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, extension 136. And Albert will say,
Dr. Dino Live, this is Albert.
Oh, you're getting so much better, Albert. All right. We're going to have women all over the world calling saying, man, give me that guy's picture and phone number. Not yet, though, right?
No, not yet.
You're a little young for that. A couple more years, right?
Well, yeah. I'm ready whenever the Lord's willing.
Well, they're awful expensive and hard to train. I'll just tell you right now, okay? Or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live. And how do they do the other one now?
Dr. Dino / radio. Yeah, Dr. Dino / radio.
Just an email, kind of.
Yeah. That's if they're going to the Dr. Dino website, they just / radio at the end of it. And it'll bring to the page and it'll say, you know, subject, and you type in what it's about, and then it'll ask for your name and your email address, and you can say whatever you want. But we're not going to email you back. This is just for the radio, so know that ahead of time.
I'm not going to get an email back. No. Email again. I about died under a bare pile of email finally a year and a half ago. I said, I surrender. I quit. And I did. Tell my secretaries, if they email and want an answer, say, great, call him. Still take a billion phone calls a week, but just can't handle it. So, you can get a hold of us. Yesterday, some folks were left hanging, and I certainly apologize. We try to answer everybody's question. Anytime you say you believe the Bible is true and evolution is stupid, you're bound to raise a few questions from people, and that's fine. We really, sincerely, honestly believe that. Dumbest theory in the history of the world, but that's okay. We can help. Okay, here we go. Yesterday, we got left hanging, and we'll get these and then get to yours today. Vlad Cobb. That's a screen name. Hello, I have a question today. I noticed before that you used to have a link to Tex Mars. He has a very negative opinion of the state of Israel. Do you support his view? I've been on Tex Mars' program a couple of times. I've never met him. I love his stuff. I've read some of his stuff, heard his program, really enjoy it. You know, that doesn't mean I give anybody a blanket, you know, recommendation. I don't know what all he believes on all topics, but so far, everything I've seen is good. As far as Israel, they are a pagan, godless bunch of heathen that need the gospel, that need to be saved. However, God commanded us in the book of Genesis to, he said he would bless those that bless them and curse those that curseth them. Therefore, I believe America should support Israel and Christians should support Israel only because God said so, not because they deserve it. If that makes sense. Okay, Nighthawk 8700 wrote in, vitamin supplement Alive seems to be a good kind to take daily. It has whole live foods, amino acid, chelated minerals, and digestive enzymes for the people who've asked about vitamins. Okay, good. There's a lot of good competition in the vitamin world, okay? A lot of good healthy competition. I think the good healthy competition with cars, I remember, Albert, when I was your age, got my first car, you had to carry a toolbox with you because you're always adjusting the valves or, you know, adjusting the points or, you know, replacing spark plugs. I mean, it was just, if you're going to have a car, you better be a mechanic, in other words, you know. That's just when I was a kid. 50 years before that, it was much worse. You had to be a mechanic and an inventor and an engineer and everything else just to drive a car. Because of the competition in the car field, I think all of them have improved vastly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the days when if you got 80,000 miles out of an engine, that was amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you 100,000 miles, unheard of.
I have 172,000 on my
car. Right. I mean, you know, the metals are better, the construction's better, the design's better. It's just vastly improved because of the competition. The same thing is happening in the vitamin field, I believe. There are many good companies that are producing good vitamins. I'm not an expert on that, but I used to recommend just one brand, and now I think there are probably dozens that would be good, as good. So, okay, hope that helps. Here we go. X Ninja Hands writes, people constantly argue who was at fault, Adam or Eve. What about God? Whoever said God wasn't at fault? I would say God created a perfect couple, put them in a perfect environment, gave them infinite, the whole world. You got the entire planet. He says, this one tree, don't touch that one. You can have the whole rest of the planet. Guess what?
They touched it.
They touched it. Kids are like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Wet paint. Oh, really? Just touch it. Yeah. I would have done the same probably sooner, with Adam and Eve. So it's definitely Adam and Eve that were at fault. I like what the J. Vernon McGee says. It wasn't the apple in the tree that was the problem. It was the pear on the ground. And we don't know that it was an apple. I understand. Okay, it's the fruit. All right. Okay, Dr. Dino Live, let's see. A.Y. Wolfpack says, could Kent please talk a little about dinosaurs that are still alive? My six-year-old son isn't sure that they only lived 6,000 years ago. Well, tell your son that I covered that very thoroughly on videotape number 3, about dinosaurs still living. It is amazing how many sightings there have been in the last just, you know, few hundred years. Like thousands and thousands and thousands. So, I don't think that there's millions of dinosaurs left and you have to be careful when you go to the mall. I'm not saying that at all, okay? I'm just saying there have been an awful lot of sightings of dinosaurs or dinosaur-like creatures in the last couple hundred years. And to a Christian, no problem. To a heathen, I think that creates a problem. Maybe I'm, you know, way out on left field about that, but I think they got a problem on their hands. Okay. CLK Project writes in, I was wondering if after the 7-year rapture, and I hold it, 7-year rapture? That'd be a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Okay. When we are transported back to the Earth, will there be an increased oxygen content and higher air pressure so we have much more energy? Well, I hope so. Because my get up and go done got up and went. I go hard all day, but still, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I never should sit down for the radio program. I don't know how we can prove anything. It appears that because he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, that the end times goes like this. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation. Bad things happen. Satan apparently rules the world, sets up his kingdom, or tries to, establishes his Antichrist, you know, as his one world ruler, his one world political ruler, spiritual ruler, etc. One world money system, maybe one world language, I don't know. And somewhere in that 7-year tribulation, either before, beginning, middle, end, or, you know, middle, the Lord comes back, right, and takes his Christians out of here. Then he sets up a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And there are just a few verses that really give us any clue about that. Not much. Then he makes a new heaven and a new earth. Now that, I think, three verses, Isaiah 65, 2 Peter 3, and Revelation 21, new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's not much more on it, I mean, that I can figure out. So God's going to restore it like it used to be. I think so. For the 1,000 years, he'll restore it because a child shall die 100 years of age. That's probably the way it was in the pre-flood world when they had that canopy. So I would suspect that's what God's going to fix back. What do you think?
I agree.
I'm good? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Travis, 105, writes, I recommend Alex Jones at Infowars.com about the 9/11 subject. There is a conspiracy in almost every terror attack called problem, reaction, solution. Good point. I agree. Talked about conspiracy yesterday. And the last one hanging from yesterday was Archangel Boy. Hey, Dr. Dino, for your caller, as far as 9/11, I think 9/11 in plain sight video is not nearly as strong as these documentaries. Painful Questions by Eric Huffschmid. The Truth and Lies of 9/11 by Mike Rupert, and one called Loose Change. I found these to be better since they deal with not only the physical evidence, but other evidence as well. Thanks. Okay, Archangel Boy. Yeah, we got into the question of 9/11, you know, what happened and who's at fault. And I very strongly suspect our government had a hand in all that. Certainly allowing it to happen, possibly helping it to happen. I know that sounds awful, but get your head out of the sand just a little bit, and I think you'll see that's probably correct. Okay, is from today's instant messages at AOL.com. No, AOL instant message, Dr. Dino Live. Get that straight, man. AIESOUS MySauter. I don't understand that screen. Anyways, Kent Hoffman coming to Calvary Chapel in the Finger Lakes again for their creation seminar. I don't think, and if anything's scheduled there, I'd be glad to come. Tell them to give me a call, and I'll be honored to come back. I was there probably a year ago, Calvary Chapel. I don't know the date. Maybe more than that. I don't know. But yeah, I'd love to come back. That was great. I don't know what's open yet. My daughter, who does my scheduling, would know that. They could call and schedule a seminar. Be thrilled. They do have a lot of heathen in New York. You've never been there?
Nope.
You need to go. You need to go a lot of places.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's enough heathen here for me right now.
There's plenty of heathen here right now. Okay, here we go. Fat
Pikachu.
Pikachu?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's from a show. It's called Pokemon.
Pokemon?
Yeah, that's from
Fat Pikachu.
That's generation gap there. You don't know.
Like SpongeBob?
Yeah, but before
Dumber?
SpongeBob.
Just as dumb as SpongeBob?
Yeah, in Japanese.
Oh, in Japanese.
Animation. Anime.
Okay. Okay, Fat Pikachu 5 writes in, "Hello, I have a question today. I just saw your college class, CSE 103, disc number 6, the one about income tax and stuff. I was wondering where I can get more information on redeeming the straw man. And I was wondering if that freedom package you mentioned is still available." I believe the freedom package is still available. It's not something I deal with. I'm so swamped on creation evolution stuff, I don't have time to get into all that other stuff. I mean, I still believe it, and, you know, I love studying it, what little time I have to put into that. But, yes, go to, you can email Richard Mooneyhan. His email is rich, R-I-C-H, the letter N, and then Anna, A-N-N-A, Rich and Anna at AOL.com. And he can take care of that for you. Okay, let's see.
Hey, what is the Freedom Package?
Richard Mooneyhan helps people. It's a package where they pay 30, 40 bucks, whatever. I don't remember. It's his, something he does. But it helps people understand the break time. Their relationship with the government and what do they have to do and what are you doing voluntarily. We'll be back after the break, folks. See you in a minute. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hoven and Awesome Albert live.
February 2nd of 06.
Yep, pig day, or whatever it is.
Right? Groundhog Day.
Dirt pig. Okay. And you can call into the program. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is, without question, the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Can't believe there are people out there in the 21st century who still believe they came from a rock. Honestly. They've got to be kidding, you know. Okay, let me read a couple testimonies here. I forgot to do this. I knew I had a pile of these somewhere. Okay, and then we'll get to your questions at Dr. Dino Live. You can instant message us, DrDinoLive, or call us, 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay, here we go. Dr. Hoven, this is Matthew Jones. We have a couple of things in common. I currently live in central Illinois, Danville. I used to live on Pensacola Beach and in Gulf Breeze, which is where I fully intend on retiring. Have you been down to the beach yet, Albert?
Yeah, I went down to Johnson's Beach.
Pensacola Beach is incredible.
I didn't go there.
Until the hurricanes come. Right? It's bear season 10 months out of the year in Pensacola Beach. Did you know that? They run around nearly bare. I mean, aside from that, go early morning. Nobody's there. Go when it's cold. They wear clothes, you know, but the beach is beautiful. White sand. Okay, here we go. On a retire in Pensacola, Matthew says. Let's see. Most importantly, I love the Lord with all my heart and have been spending the last 2 years with my wife raising 5 children in accordance with Romans 12:2, despite my mother thinking I've been a Christian for 36 years. Truth is, I was just born 7 years ago. I just watched your seminars. We really bring it and we love it. We bring it? Is that an expression? We bring it?
Oh.
My best friend and I are constantly thinking of new ways to have a positive influence in transforming people's lives. After watching your work, you have charged my batteries, so to speak. We sure are appreciative of what you are doing. Even my elementary age kids are fascinated with your seminars. I will certainly do my part in promoting your ministry. Well, thank you, Matthew. I appreciate that. Spread them around. Here we go. Corey writes in, I'm writing you this letter to thank you for the thank you you wrote me. I was amazed to get one, let alone have the letter signed by you. How come people around here don't realize that, Albert? You know, it's, oh, hey, Brother Hovind, what do you need? Okay, get out of my way kind of stuff. But, you know, when I traveled at long distances, wow, is Dr. Hovind's here? Okay. Corey says, my name is Corey. I'm 26 years young, and my wife's name is Courtney. She's not saved yet. Please pray for her. We have 3 boys. I first saw video number 2 at my church. To be honest, I have never heard of creation science before. I've seen all your seminar videos and have read Doubts About Creation by Brian Young. Excellent book. I wanted to write you and tell you about how your ministry opened a whole new way of thinking, and I'm going back to school. Hope maybe someday I can speak about creation, evolution, and dinosaurs, but I think I have much to learn first. I plan on purchasing your CSE 101 class when I have enough money. That's our college class we offer. You're taking the college class at night?
I took the first one.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Kent, for your love for truth and knowledge and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, Proverbs 13. Well, thank you, Corey. Amen. Appreciate that. And let's see. Yeah, we got stacks of these. No frowny face ones, though, today. I love the frowny face ones. Okay, let's go to the questions here. Johnny says, why is the Book of Mormon written in Old English? It was not the common verbiage of the time. The Book of Mormon is written in Old English because Joseph Smith copied almost word for word the Spalding document that had been taken to the printer to be printed and disappeared. There was a guy, I think his name was Spalding, who was a Baptist who had been kicked out of his church for teaching heresy. If I have the story, I got the right idea. I'm real close to the right story here. And so he decided to write a novel about the people coming to America, the Nephites, and it's just a novel that he wrote about people coming over to America, having a big battle, and a bunch of them getting killed and taking over the Indians. And Joseph Smith stole that, apparently, or somebody stole it, gave it to Joseph Smith. He claimed he had a magic stone called a seer stone that he could translate special documents with. He told his friends that he found these golden plates that had the Word of God in them, and the angel told him to translate these into English. Now, nobody ever saw these golden plates, ever, except Joseph Smith. Okay. There were no golden plates, but he made up the whole thing. So he told his friends to get on the other side of the curtain because they weren't allowed to see these plates because the plates were holy. And he put one of the plates in his hat and put his seer stone in there, this special rock that he had. He stuck his head in the hat and the seer stone would light up and he would translate the plates and he would read to his friend through the curtain or through the bed sheet hanging from the tree branches. And his friend would write down what he told him. And every few minutes, Joseph Smith would look around the sheet and say, yes, that's correct. Okay? So when they got all done, doing this whole long process of actually reading this manuscript, okay, they were going to take it to the printer and get this book printed. They said, this is the straight from the mouth of God, the infallible, perfect Word of God. Well, I have on CD, sitting on my desk right there, the print version as it was taken to the printer. Somebody scanned in all, I don't know how many pages, 300 or 400 pages of this document It is incredibly lousy in it, the way it's written. Okay, I mean real lousy. Thousands of things changed, okay? Since the Book of Mormon was written, and supposedly the most perfect book ever written, there have been about 30,000 changes, many of them very serious changes, okay? But because the Baptist preacher had been kicked out of his church or whatever happened, not a Baptist preacher, but a Baptist deacon or something, and he wrote this novel about the Nephites coming to America, etc., his head was full of Old English from reading the Bible and going to church and being a Baptist deacon or whatever he was. And so this novel contains all kinds of Old English. You know, how art thou today, Sister, you know, Jones, and stuff like that. So that's why the Book of Mormon has so much Old English in it. It was written by a renegade, defrocked, whatever, Baptist. I don't know if it's a... I could find the story. I've got it somewhere. Pastor or deacon or something. And so the Book of Mormon is an absolute fraud, a forgery. There is a DVD out here. Hey, Leah, are you in here? Is the librarian here? No. There's a DVD someplace here in the library called The Bible versus the Book of Mormon. Unbelievable differences. There's another one we have in here called The Book of Mormon, DNA versus the Book of Mormon. Because the Book of Mormon teaches that, you know, the Israelites came over here to America and interbred with the Indians. And so they did a bunch of research on the DNA and said, I'm sorry, there is absolutely zero DNA evidence for anything in the Book of Mormon. The entire story is made up. Absolute hoax. I would encourage people to rescue their friends out of Mormonism by letting them see, you know, the Bible versus the Book of Mormon or DNA versus the Book of Mormon. I don't see either of them here. Of course, there's how many DVDs and videos up there, Albert?
More than I can count.
Over 1,000. A lot. Yeah. Probably 3,000. So, I'm not going to go find it right now. If Leah's here, she could walk right to it, you know, but I don't know how she does it. All right. She's only been here a couple months. So, that's the Book of Mormon. Okay, let's see. Second question. Oh, here we go. Fat Pikachu?
Pikachu.
Pikachu. Fat Pikachu had another question. I searched your website for some of the books you recommended, like The Biggest Tax Loophole of Them All, and couldn't find them. Do you still sell the books? I never did sell the books, and don't want to get into that field. I just don't have time or interest. But there are so many folks who are good at that, that it's not my field of expertise. So that one you refer to is, if I recall, Otto Skinner, O-T-T-O Skinner. So check the internet for Otto Skinner. You should find him somewhere. On there. We have a caller today?
Sure do.
All right. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan from Pal Talk. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, bud.
Where's all the atheists today?
Well, we've had maybe two that came in here and left, but we almost had one yesterday. Almost. Almost had one today. He actually stood around. Had no problem insulting us for 15 minutes, but he just would not call in. So, yes, it is sad. It is quite sad, my brother. But, yes, he was, he ended up saying, you know, I could tear this guy to shreds in 5 minutes.
Bring it on.
I looked down at the clock and I said, well, you've got 10, so call in. It was 5:50, and, you know, he didn't do it. He put up a good fight, but he didn't do it.
All right, we got break here. Jonathan, right. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute and a half. All right, bye-bye. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
February 2nd of 06.
All right. We had a good day today. Got a lot done. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Anybody believes that came from a rock needs help, and we're here to help them. And you can call on the program, 877-479-DINO, and we have Jonathan from Pal Talk on the phone. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yes, I was wondering. I think it might have been in one of your seminars. I can't quite remember which one it was. You made a reference to, not sure. I can't remember which one it was, and you made a reference to some experiment. Maybe you had made it up, or maybe it was a real one that they actually did. But something along the lines of a frog, and if you you have a frog and he jumps 40 feet and then you cut off one of his legs.
Oh, yeah, that's a joke, yeah.
Okay, what was that? What were you trying to demonstrate with that one?
Well, on Seminar Part 4, I cover that in the beginning, about the first hour.
Okay.
You want to be on the program, Glenda? Okay.
It's not available. It's not working. No electricity is working. Ask Eric.
Okay. So the Seminar Part 4, I tell the story of that scientists wanted to see how far a frog could jump.
Yeah.
So they put him down and said, jump, frog, jump, and the frog jumped 80 inches. They brought him back, cut off one leg. Said, jump, frog, jump, and the frog jumped 70 inches. They brought him back, cut off another leg. Said, jump, frog, jump, and he jumped 60. They brought him back, cut off another leg. Said, jump, frog, and he jumped 50. When they brought the frog back and cut off his last leg, they said, jump, frog. The frog didn't move. So they yelled louder, jump, frog, jump, 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 and the frog, of course, didn't move. And the scientists were baffled, you know. They thought maybe he might go like, you know, 40.
Yeah.
You know, it had been, you know, 80, 70, 60, 50. I mean, you know. So they tried the experiment again, new frog, and got the same results, similar results every time. So the scientists decided that the first they said, well, the frog jumped less as the legs were removed, which is a good observation.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, so we must conclude that a frog with no legs goes deaf, which is a bad conclusion. Okay.
Okay. So that was a demonstration.
Right. It's just to demonstrate that it's possible to have really good observation and still come to the wrong conclusion.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. All right.
And that's what evolutionists do. You know, they observe. Like, for instance, Michael Cremo wrote the book Hidden History of the Human Race. It's right here beside me in the library. He does all kinds of good observations of strange things that are found and comes to the wrong conclusion. He says aliens visited the planet 200 million years ago. Because human artifacts are found in coal, and we know coal formed 200 million years ago, that by his thinking, therefore, aliens visited the planet 200 million years ago.
Yeah, yeah. That wouldn't quite explain how that all happened. Coal was formed, how a little critter gets inside of that.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, okay. So anybody have any questions on your pal talk today?
Well, there's just really two people here. You got couple people at it, like I said, probably the most intelligent comment I've heard so far today is, I don't know, somebody calling us both a couple of fat girls. That was about it. That's the level of intelligence that I was presented with.
All right.
But I noticed you were talking about the Book of Mormon there, and I think somebody had asked about that on an instant message. And there's a little bit of a funny story about that. A little bit of a short, little funny story about my wife. She happens to be an Italian.
Okay.
She was raised in an Italian family and background, but you know, here in America. So she was always hearing, Italian around the house, you know, people, I don't know, saying, like, the word moroni. You know, that's moron in Italian. You know, moroni. So one day, in her adult life, she gets ministered to and presented the Book of Mormon with the missionaries at her doorstep, and they hand her the book and say, let's show you, let's come in and study with you. Show you this Book of Mormon, and of course, always hearing about Moroni through her whole life, she opens up, and what else does she see but one of the pages saying, the angel Moroni comes to Joseph Smith. So that was it for the Book of Mormon for her. Because, you know, they got the angel Moroni, and you know, the
angel Moron.
And she cracks up saying, oh my gosh, guys, I got to tell you, you got an angel named Moron coming to this guy, Joseph Smith.
Wow.
But anyway, that was it for her. That alienated her from that religion.
Okay.
So, all righty.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, brother. That's good.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Angel Moroni. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew it was called Angel Moroni, but I never knew that was Italian for Moron. I love it. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Oh, still from the Fat Pikachu?
Pikachu.
Pikachu. Okay. Pikachu. He wanted to know information about taxes. I've always said I recommend everybody obey the law, including the government. Everybody. Just read the law, obey it. Unless it conflicts with God's law, then, of course, God's law comes higher than man's law. But usually there's no conflict. I mean, just very rare there's a conflict. You know, if a man's law says you can't preach about Jesus Christ, well, then it's tough. I'm going to preach about Jesus Christ, okay? Or if man's law says you have to go kill somebody, well, then, no, God's law comes before that. But usually there's no conflict, so You might want to go to some of the websites. Let's see, remediesatlaw.com. Probably one of the best, remediesatlaw.com. Okay, here we go. ATT0111 says, hi, can you tell me why the prophet Isaiah's name is different in the New Testament of the King James? Yes, it was from the Greek, Isaias. Actually, it's common for people to have multiple names. For instance, you have some Puerto Rican in your background, right?
Yes.
Okay. In Spanish, if somebody goes down there and his name is Peter, what are they going to call him in Puerto Rico or any Spanish-speaking country? It's going to be Pedro. Same name. Peter and Pedro, no different. When I go to different countries and do my seminars in different languages and stuff, nearly always when they translate just my name Kent, K-E-N-T, it comes out something strange. Like in Russian, it looks really strange in Russian, you know. They say, oh, we have here Doctor, and they say it, and I don't even recognize my own name, you know. So I think it's a language barrier where in the New Testament, of course, written in Greek and Old Testament written in Hebrew, it would be very common for Isaiah, Isaias, not a problem. Jesus in Mexico is Jesus. Jesus. And it's spelled the same, J-E-S-U-S. So I just think that's a language barrier thing. Okay. Here we go. Duke Guru writes in today. Hello, I have a question. How do you feel about the use of GMOs to produce more food? Genetically modified food. GM. We sell a book on that topic. I'm looking for it here. Called Seeds of Deception. I don't get too far off topic, I guess I do, on the creation evolution topic in my seminar. Kick a few dogs and chase a few rabbits as I walk by, but somebody sent me the book and said, oh, Brother Hovind, you got to read this, and it was about genetically modified foods. And I was stunned. I couldn't quit. I read the whole thing in one trip to preach somewhere. I got on the airplane and read it, okay? It was powerful. I don't see it here. It's a big book, and it's on our website called Seeds of Deception. I think it's about $15, $18 or something like that. Well worth reading. The basic story is Monsanto Corporation seems to be one of the primary movers and shakers in this entire movement, which they've now changed their name to Solutia. It's going to be this final solution, like Hitler's final solution, I think. But Monsanto Corporation has been working to get genetically modified foods where the pesticide is built right into the seed. You never have to spray anything on the crops. Sounds great. But the question would be, of course, can your body digest this? And the answer is partially, but now you're ingesting all the pesticides. And so they've been basically banned in Europe, and they did it very simple the way they banned it. They just said, if there's any genetically modified food in the product, it has to be on the label. If it contains more than 1% genetically modified food, it has to be on the label. Well, they don't want that because people look at that and say, I don't want genetically modified food, you know. And so they that was a great way to effectively get it out off the market. So very few European countries, I don't know if any have it, but very few have genetically modified food. 70% of the American diet is containing genetically modified food. Let me just read you a little bit about this. This is a introduction to the book, Seeds of Deception. I don't have the price on that here. We do sell it, though. Let's see. May 23rd of 2003, President Bush proposed an initiative to end hunger in Africa using genetically modified foods. He also blamed Europe's unfounded, unscientific fears of these foods for hindering efforts to end hunger. Bush was convinced that genetically modified foods were the key to greater yields, expanded U.S. exports, and a better world. His rhetoric is not new. It's been passed down from president to president and delivered to the American people through regular news reports and in industry advertisements. The message was part of a master plan that has been crafted by corporations determined to control the world's food supply. This was made clear at a biotech industry conference in January of 1999, a representative from Arthur Anderson Consulting Group explained how his company had helped Monsanto create that plan. First, they asked Monsanto what their ideal future looked like in 15 to 20 years. Monsanto executives described a world with 100% of all commercial seeds genetically modified and patented. Now, if you patent something, of course, then you have exclusive rights to it. So it all goes back to money. Love of money, root of all evil. They presented Monsanto with the steps, strategy and tactics to achieve this goal, and the procedures needed to obtain a place in industry dominance in a world in which natural seeds were virtually extinct. Integral to the plan was Monsanto's influence in government, whose role was to promote the technology worldwide and to help get the foods into the marketplace quickly, before resistance could get in the way. A biotech consultant later said, "The hope of the industry is that over time, the market is so flooded there's nothing you can do about it. You just sort of surrender." That's just the introduction. It's a huge book. I got to get the price of that thing and add it in here. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty scary what's happening. There are people who would rather, all they want is money, and if it happens to kill a bunch of folks, oh well. It started over in Europe because they noticed this genetically modified food, as they grew it, the butterflies wouldn't land on it. And if they did land on it to pollinate the flowers, the butterflies would die. So they banned it because it was bad for the butterflies, not because it was bad for the people. Figure that out. Anyway. Glad the Lord's keeping careful records. Okay, here we go. So, Duke Guru, that's my opinion. I think it's horrible, but I'm well aware of the fact that 70% of our crop food that we eat is genetically modified. And, you know, we got these nice, beautiful-looking apples and bananas that stay ripe for, you know, several weeks, and you don't rot quickly, and food that won't rot quickly, and that's probably because it's, you know, genetically modified. Okay, here we go. Tim Eagle writes in regards to numbers never having an end, is it also true to say that they theoretically cannot have a beginning? But if you assume, you know, positive is the end and negative is the beginning, then yes, you could go infinitely to negative numbers or infinitely to positive numbers. I'm not sure how you determine where numbers begin or if they begin. We kind of generally work with the slice in the middle around zero to plus or minus a few billion, you know. Usually that's about all the numbers we need to ever work with. And when you're dealing with money, most people around here deal with the numbers plus or minus a few thousand, maybe. That's all they ever going to need to deal with, right? All right. Tim Eagle says, okay, that's it. I did that. Ex-Dr. Pimp. Ex-Dr. Pimp? What is that? No idea. Okay. Why do you reject macroevolution as a valid scientific theory? I guess because science deals with things we observe, study, test, and demonstrate. Nothing about macroevolution has ever been observed, studied, tested, or demonstrated. Nothing. I mean, like, zero. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. Period. Your folks are doing farming now, raising something, aren't they? Oranges or...
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. What were they doing?
Well, they weren't really raising anything. We just had pets.
Okay, I thought you had 20 acres.
Yeah, 20 acres. We had two horses, like 9 cats, a little Pekingese.
Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay. So any farmer that's ever raised anything will tell you, you know, when you crossbreed cows, you expect to get cows. Every farmer on the planet counts on evolution not happening. They count on it. And so far it's worked. So far it's never happened. So I guess I reject macroevolution as a valid scientific theory because it's not a valid scientific theory. It's a religious hypothesis of how it might have happened. You know, we observe dogs produce dogs, and we observe some pretty strange varieties of dogs. Chihuahua, Pekingese. Down near the Chihuahua in my book as far as usefulness.
There's no point. I mean, we have cats bigger than this Pekingese.
Right. And the use of them is, there is none.
There's none.
Not even, you can't even eat them. I mean, it's half a bite, you know. Right. Cat food, maybe. I don't know. So, I reject macroevolution as science because it is not science. If you have some evidence, Dr. X, Dr. Pimp, I would love to see. I'd love to see it. Nobody's ever shown me any evidence at all that a dog has produced a non-dog. Okay, do you think that over time people will reject evolution, like flat earthism? I would first say that I don't think there's ever been a time when people thought the Earth was flat. There might have been a few oddballs, you know, but generally people have always known the Earth is round. They even figured this the diameter of it, when was that, like 300 or 400 BC or something like that. Somebody figured out the circumference of the Earth pretty close. I think they got 28,000 miles circumference based on the shadows of a couple of wells, you know, different latitudes. And so who cares? But they were saying, oh, okay, the Earth is round. And our Bible says, Isaiah said it was round in 1000 BC. So I don't see a problem with that. Okay. What are the holes in macroevolution? The holes in macroevolution are the complete lack of scientific evidence. It just has never been observed. So anything people want to believe is fine, but it's no longer, it's not, certainly not science. It becomes a religious belief. And lastly, why do people ridicule creationists? Oh, I suppose the Bible says in the last days scoffers would come. And it's easier to scoff than come up with an answer. Somebody gives you a logical explanation of how something happened. They just rather than give an answer, they scoff, ha ha ha, and just laugh. You know, that's seventh grade. It's tough. Seventh grade mentality. Is that the way they did in seventh grade? You know.
Yeah.
Ha ha, you're ugly. Oh, you know, how do you respond to that? You know. Ha ha, your mama wears army boots. Yeah. Okay. Your sister's ugly too, right? And your mama dresses you funny. I mean, that, right? Okay. You know all that stuff from seventh grade.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't do that to kids, did you? How do you really still do that to little kids?
Only on Thursdays.
Hmm. That's today. Okay. I think they ridicule creationists multiple reasons. Some possibly really honestly think that creation is silly, just like I honestly think that evolution is silly. I mean, I really, really, really do. It's a silly religion. Some probably think that, wow, if enough people believe in evolution, that'll make it true. We can get rid of God. Okay. Well, that's a silly one. But there might be some like that. Some like the evolution theory and support it and teach it and laugh at Christians because they know the political agenda behind evolution. Now, we'll get into that when we come back. Back in about a minute, folks. Join us on the other side. All right, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live over there. What's
February 2nd of 06.
And we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live, or email. Did anybody do that yet?
I haven't checked it, but I checked it earlier. No one had.
Okay.
I'll check.
You
got to
click some kind of button, right?
Yep.
Okay. Click a button, make it work. And the email, go to, let's see, email Dr. Dino, the regular website, and then /radio.
Yep.
Something like that. You got some?
We got pull.
Open them. Can I open them from here?
You surely can.
Oh, no. Let's see. Something else to, another button to push. Just what I need. Do you know where it is? Because I put my computer up to all kinds of other things all day long, and it, radio program, Jonathan made a link for me. Look at this. Okay. Can't believe it. I'm sorry. I didn't know we got four of them sitting in here. Of course, we got a lot of instant messages, too. Okay. Do you have some explanation for why trilobites and ammonites have become extinct? Why wouldn't they be able to survive after the flood? I don't know that they are extinct. I think there's certainly some pretty good evidence that trilobite-type creatures are alive a variety of places. Might want to check our video number 6 where we talk about that. No, and video 4 about trilobites. When was the Ice Age? Here's one from Sigurd. You mentioned in one of the college courses that science has estimated the Ice Age to be 10,000 years ago based on the retraction of Niagara Falls. Is it correct that this is the only reason? Don't they have other indications. Here in Norway, we still have remnants of the Ice Age as glaciers. Glaciers are still forming, actually. I mean, you can go to Iceland or go to Greenland. There are thousands of glaciers, thousands and thousands. And, of course, Norway's got plenty, too. So, the 10,000 years for the last Ice Age was based on the misinformation from Niagara Falls erosion rate. Okay, radio program. Oh, we got a caller. Oh, I'm sorry. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Kurt from Montana.
Kurt from Montana. Yes, Kurt. Go ahead.
Hey, Kent.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, when it comes to you teaching about evolution in the Bible and all that, why do you think that Christianity would just fall apart, the concept of Christ fall apart, if evolution was ever proven to your standards?
I guess I don't understand proven. I don't. There is no evidence for evolution.
Well,
I suppose
they came up with some evidence. I don't know what kind you'd be looking for, but I suppose that, but there was some that satisfied you. Would that mean that the concept of God and Christianity in the Bible is false then? Would you become an atheist then, or what?
I am in favor of truth and against error, and I don't see any truth. Yeah, I would follow truth wherever it led me. If the truth led me to the conclusion that there was no creator, there was no designer, the world came here by random chance accidents, I would believe it. I want to see the truth.
Okay, then how would you conduct your life? Would you become an atheist
and
unethically and you know, cheat people and kill and all that? Would you still believe in the ethical conduct that you've been taught through the Bible, even though it's a good way to live, but you know, just you just had to come to a different conclusion about how the world was created.
Well, I'm curious, I guess, how an evolutionist or atheist can determine what is ethical, because if that theory is really true, then only the strongest survive. Well, then, man, get out there and kill anybody you can, because if the more the weaker ones you can eliminate, the more that good that leaves for you. You got more land.
That's not how we live, though. I used to think that, too, before I slid towards the evolutionary side, you know, when I was brainwashed with all the Christianity, you know, and all that. I'm still a Christian, but I believe in evolution, or I at least accept it. And actually, you know, I'm going back towards a little bit more ethical standards on my free will instead of because I have to. And I think that's probably what would be the case, and I think that's how probably everybody, we do make our laws. We don't just, everybody gets together who feels that they're being cheated or being stepped on. They get together and they do something about it. They do it to change laws. And that's how we make our society work. It's not just because, well, I believe in evolution, therefore I'll step on you and I'll get away with it. We have a system set up where we punish people who do that, and you know, we have an interest, self-interests of us too. Fight against the oppressors, and that's what separates us from the animals.
Okay, well, let's suppose that you are driving along this highway and you come to a accident and an armored car has hit a tree, flipped over, all of the people inside are dead, the armored car is open, there's $20 million in there they're delivering back to the bank, you're the first one on the scene, and there's absolutely nobody else within 100 miles. I mean, you just plain discovered an armored car full of money. What would you do?
What would I do if I found it?
Yeah.
Oh, I probably, if I had a phone, I'd probably call the emergency numbers and
no, the people
everything are... and all that, and I wouldn't take any.
Why
it'd
not?
It'd be tempting to, but I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you take any?
Because it belongs to somebody else. Now, if it was drug money, maybe I'd take it. If it was money that belonged to, you know, if it was gained by, you know, taking money from somebody else unethically, and it would probably never be able to get back to the right person who earned it, then I might do something different. But
you know. Okay, well, let's take a similar example. You come across a car accident, and there's a gorgeous woman in there who is unconscious. And it's obvious she's married to somebody. She's got a wedding ring on her finger. But there's nobody around for hundreds of miles. And are you going to lust after, is it okay for you to look or lust after some other man's wife? Or would that be stealing something that really belongs to him?
Well, no, that's one of the things that us human beings and this sort of, you know, consider ourselves religious and Christians have to fight against. It's not a good thing to do that because it causes harm to, you know, if you did follow through with that lust action, then it'll cause harm through, you know, with her husband and children and possible other things that could go wrong. So that's, you know, there's other reasons as a fact, you know, instead of saying, well, I'm going to go to hell if I do this. So, you know, we make decisions not just based on, well,
no, I didn't say, yeah, I didn't say you're going to hell if you do it. I'm just wondering.
Well, that's why you guys do it, though.
Oh, and absolutely not.
Well, it is.
No.
That's the whole system. It's like, well, if there's nothing after this life, then why go ahead and live ethically? Because there's a price to pay after you die. There's a judgment day. And that's the real reason why you guys don't do that. Hmm. It's not because, well, it's not a good thing to do. It's because, well, I'm going to be judged, and I want to, you know, have to answer to God for it in the afterlife. So you're not really concerned about the behavior you'll have here on anything. It's just, well, God will punish me for it if I do.
Well, I think you're totally wrong. I think you have one reason for not wanting to, for instance, lust after another man's wife, because it's going to hurt that man.
And me.
And you. Okay, Christians would have three reasons then. It would not be good because it's going to hurt the other man, it's going to hurt me, and it's going to offend God. So we'd have the same reasons as you do, plus more. So it's not correct for you to say the only reason we do this is because we're afraid of a judgment. No. We have the same motivation to do good that you do, plus more. So I don't think you got a right analysis there of why Christians do what they do.
But it is. That's really what it boils down to. If there wasn't an afterlife, why would you still do these things? Would you still live ethically if there was nothing after this?
Well, I would have the same motivation that you apparently have to try to do what I would consider good because it might hurt somebody, other human being. But for instance, does the lion think he's hurting the zebra when he's ripping his guts out and getting ready to eat him? He don't care. He's going to eat him, man.
Do you think he's thinking about, gee, I'm going to go get this thing and I'm going to torture it and kill it? He's hungry. It's an instinct, and that's how nature set it up. Do you really think that God, that's because of the fall of man, that God, that man sinned, and therefore that's why animals eat other animals?
Yeah, I really believe we have death and sin in the world because of Adam's sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And it just makes sense. This is such a complex world. That it had to have a beginning that was better than we currently see. Just like when you see a car and it's got a few dings and flaws and, you know, rust and stuff on it, you know it's not the way it was originally made. It still runs, it's okay, but it's not, you know, it's not like it was.
What do you think about some of the reasons that Hugh Ross, I know you're not a big Hugh Ross fan, but the examples he gives as far as that he believes that animals killed animals before the fall, that if there wasn't any death, then there would be so many animals in competition and the ecological system would just break down.
Well, that's based on a couple of obvious assumptions. Okay. Number one, the food supply would have been phenomenal in a Garden of Eden-type conditions. You would need lots of animals just to mow the grass. What if the food was capable of producing 1,000 times more than it is today per acre? What if today's earth is 3% habitable? What if the original created earth was 90% habitable and only 10% seas and underwater, as opposed to 70% underwater today? And a lot of animals, you know, they reach a certain population level. Like, for instance, there was a study done with deer. I'm sorry, still coughing here. They raised deer in an enclosure, a large pasture, with a bunch of billboards all around them of pictures of deer. And the deer thought, apparently they thought, I don't know what deer think, but the deer apparently would have thought, wow, it's crowded, there's a lot of deer around here. And they never would go into estrus where they could reproduce. It seems like a natural shutoff in many animal species.
So they would not, so no animals would reproduce. So there was no reproduction then before the fall.
Well, the point would have been the Earth would have could if nobody had sinned. One option, solution to that supposed problem you're raising here, is that the Earth would reach the ideal carrying capacity, and everybody would live forever, and it would stop. Then the option would be, oh, did God make these other planets for us to maybe, you know, colonize them at that point?
So sexual desire and all that would just cease after there's enough.
Well, I didn't say that. I said the reproduction would stop.
Well, then you get too many people, and so the reproduction would stop then. But people wouldn't have sex anymore.
No, you're mixing two things together there.
What am I mixing together?
Well, a lot of people have sex and don't have any children.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah, with birth control.
But that's what I'm saying. It seems to be a natural birth control with deer. Why do they do that? There are animals like, is it the possum or the porcupine or the they control, the maybe it's the, has special animal planet had that on there, a wolverine. It'll decide if it wants, you know, it gets impregnated and it keeps the embryos in there for, says, no, it's too bad this winter. I'll wait till next year to have these kits, or whatever they call them.
But that's a little different, mixing, comparing animals to people. Are you saying that the only reason that human beings should have sex is just to reproduce? Is it a part of a relationship also?
Well, I think it's both.
Okay, so if you have it, not necessarily to reproduce, there's a possibility of having more people.
Yeah, but see,
things would get out of balance, possibly.
I don't believe they would have gotten out of balance. I think the designer, who's capable of designing all these 8,000 whatever basic kinds of amazing kinds of animals, would have had all that under control ahead of time. Is Ford worried that they're going to make too many cars and the world's going to get overpopulated with cars? Actually, no, they're worried right now about selling any of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Could I ask you something else about?
Oh yeah.
Okay, about the animals and their dietary.
Sure.
And everything with that, as far as eating. So eating was essential then.
Oh yeah.
What happens if they didn't eat? Would they die? If they weren't able to eat?
That's good. You know, that's one of those what if questions.
Well,
what if the world stops spinning?
Well, it's a realistic question. If an animal was unable to eat anything, suppose it was trapped between a rock. Die.
Yeah, that is a good question. I don't know, but I think that's such a minor question compared.
No, it's not. It's something that needs to be answered. Well, if you believe that there was no death before the fall,
I do believe there was no death before the fall.
So they didn't have to eat. He didn't have to eat. If he fell in between a rock, he would have survived forever. There would have been no death.
Well, like you said earlier, it's a natural instinct. You're going to eat, just like you're going to breathe.
Okay, but if he couldn't eat, he was trapped somewhere. He couldn't get any food. Would the animal die, or would it just live forever because that's the way God made it?
That's a tough question. I don't have an answer to that. But I think to take a question like that and therefore turn around and accept the idea that we all came from a rock.
But it's not. It's
ludicrous.
It's looking at both sides and determining
sure.
which one.
No, it's
is
a fair
better.
Question, and I don't have an answer.
Okay.
Other than it didn't last long enough to find out. You know.
Okay, but when you come up with these things, well, I don't know. You're in the same spot as the evolutionists when they. We probably can't explain everything that you guys want.
Well, I would say you can't. I would say you
evidence.
Can't. I would say you can't explain anything, not just everything. There's nothing
but,
you can.
But
explain.
This makes, I think, a little bit more sense when
okay.
you bring those
into
light.
But let's just look at this bigger picture here now. I cannot explain some things. Like that's a good question, and you cannot explain some things. So, why do I have to pay for your religion to be taught in the school system? Why don't you pay for my religion to be taught for a while?
It's not my religion, and we do pay. Most Christians don't have to pay any taxes.
Neither do the universities or public schools.
Okay,
go check your tax rolls.
Okay, well, whatever the case is, I don't think Christians are in hardship situations here in the United States because of it. And they control, 90% of the world, the Americans' minds, through the churches and through all these ministries and organizations. Isn't it important to have a balance?
We got break time here, okay. Kurt. We got break time here. That's one of those 80% of statistics are made up on the spot, I believe. We'll be back in 2 minutes here, folks. Join us on the other side. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
February 2nd of 06.
Ground Pig Day, or whatever it is. And you can call on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. If you believe it, that's fine. I don't care what you believe. You want me to pay to have that taught to our kids in school? Now, that's not fine. Go get your own private school and teach it. Anybody wants to pay and come learn it. Okay? All right. You can see, we still have Kurt on the phone, do we?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Kurt. Yes, sir. Go ahead. You were telling about, I forgot.
Yeah, we went off on the thing about, okay, 80 to 90% of the Americans are Christians. They are influenced by their pastors, their churches, all kinds of ministries.
I hope that's...
creation. And yeah. Isn't it important to have a balance, at least another perspective to balance things out?
You need to...
The university system that teaches theory of evolution.
Wait. You got it all screwed up. Okay. If you're going to have a balance, then the atheists should go start their own churches. They shouldn't make
well,
all of us...
That's you're correlating atheism with evolution.
Okay, then the evolutionists should start their own churches. They shouldn't require the 90%.
Why?
You're telling me the evolutionists have the right to make the 90% who do not believe this stuff pay to have it taught exclusively in the textbooks. There is no balance in the textbooks. I'm sitting here beside a wall of textbooks. Okay? They do not offer a balance on this topic. Oh. They offer one religion only.
It's not a religion.
It is.
It is not. We already went through this.
Who's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog?
It's not a religion. It's a theory. You believe in the theory of relativity?
Okay, do you believe dogs came from something that was non-dog?
I don't know. I'm open to all the options here. I don't base my belief in God based upon whether the theory of evolution survived.
Okay. Are you open to the option that
yes,
God actually did it?
Absolutely. I'm unlike you. I'm willing to follow the truth wherever it leads.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, then you're going to be a Baptist when you're all done. Okay.
Okay. But that doesn't have anything to do with whether or not there's a belief in God, because you can. Have you debated Kenneth Miller?
Once. He won't do it again.
Why?
I don't know. Call him up and ask him.
Well, he's a Christian. He believes in evolution. I think Michael Behe, who you quote many times, is an evolutionist. He just believes that it was guided somehow in a couple of areas. But
sure,
he's still an evolutionist, but you guys use all of his stuff all the time to prove your, you know, points that you want to prove.
Mm-hmm.
But, so you, do you think they're not Christians or what?
Oh, I don't know if they are or not.
Okay, well, then you can be if you I mean it's possible that they are.
Sure, but you
so
said...
You cannot have evolution and atheism be mutually exclusive. Ideas.
No, you said you would follow truth, and I told you if you follow truth, you're going to end up being a Baptist.
No.
Okay.
Okay, that bleeds into a whole different discussion there.
Sure.
about whether or not you believe Mark 16 or not.
I do. I believe the whole book.
You believe it? You believe that if you are believing or baptized, you can drive out demons. Deadly poison and
yes,
harm deadly snakes.
Now, you said you were a Christian, so were you Church of Christ?
I was raised as a Baptist, as a matter of fact.
As a Baptist, okay.
But I slid away a little. I'm kind of in the middle.
Right.
I kind of like the Hillsong Church in Australia, that type of church or whatever. You know, the Norman Vincent Peale positive.
Oh, sit around smoking guitar or smoke a cigar and.
No.
Okay.
I'm not into smoking too much, but.
Okay.
But I just, you know, and I listened to some of the Jesus Seminar scholarship, and I think that the Bible should be taken a little less literally and a little bit more metaphorically.
All right.
I understand more point. But, I mean, do you believe that you can drink poison and
No, I believe the New Testament church people could because they had a New Testament. They were a New Testament church without a New Testament.
But he didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. Didn't
yeah, when
that
was...
only you people will be able to do that. He says if you believe and are baptized. He didn't just point to these. To his followers. And if you make that case, then you can just make the case for everything in the Gospels were only written to those disciples and not to anybody else, as far as going to hell and everything else.
Right? Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I got 40 other people waiting on the good program here. Let's see. I believe as we mentioned on the program yesterday, that those signs, like raising the dead, etc., that are all listed in Mark 16, were for the transition time, just like Moses being able to do the miracles of the stick turning into the snake and the hand to leprosy. Those were for the transition time of get my people out.
Explain the transition between Moses' miracles and the apostles' miracles. What transition?
Well, the New Testament church did not have a New Testament. They had to get everybody to believe it. Hey, we're it, folks. God's changing things now.
Okay, but we have another age here where there's a lot of
Well, now he just sends preachers. He sends people like me to torment those who believe in evolution.
So that's okay. And everybody's saying something different. So how, if you were the, if you're the truth, I would think that God would give you that.
That's why I'm
supernatural power to drink poison, and maybe you ever get to a place where you're doing your seminars, we'll bring some poison or some snakes, and you can prove whether or not God, you're the true.
Well, I do like snakes. We got several of them here at Dinosaur Adventureland. As far as the poison, I don't know about that.
You wouldn't do it, even though.
Well,
could.
I probably have it accidentally, but no, I would never intentionally do such a thing.
You wouldn't do it. Right.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would love to poison me out there. Take a look at the internet. I mean, there's nearly 2,000 anti-Hovind websites.
You wouldn't do it though if somebody.
No, no.
I'm talking about if somebody asked you to testify that you believed in the King James Version of the Bible. You should believe that God would protect you if you were one of his.
Well, I know that he could.
Well, then you don't believe that he would, though, right?
I think that'd be stupid.
Why?
I think God gave me a brain.
So God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and a lion in that Daniel's den, but you don't believe he could protect
them? Well, they didn't jump in there on purpose. They took
right,
a bunch
not,
of big
I'm
men.
I'm not asking you to drink poison on purpose. I'm asking somebody would have to give it to you.
Oh,
if
I'm
you
sure.
Drink it then. If
yes.
Somebody served it to you and you.
And I accidentally drank it. I didn't know I was drinking it. If they tricked
no,
me.
No, if you did that the same way. Line with Daniel thrown into
sure.
The line.
No.
You wouldn't be doing it on your own
right.
Admission, but somebody would be asking you to do it to show that.
No, know. No, I would never do it. They didn't ask Shadrach to jump in the furnace.
Okay, well, if they forced you to do it.
If somebody held me down and forced me to drink poison, then God could watch over that, sure.
Okay.
But you know,
but you wouldn't do it, though.
No, I wouldn't do
you
it.
You don't believe
just like Shadrach.
You know that God wouldn't help you.
No, I don't know he wouldn't help me. I just wouldn't tempt him like that.
That would be a very good. That first of all, that wouldn't be you tempting him; it'd be me tempting him. Secondly, it would if you were the truth. That would imagine how many of these atheists and skeptics that would become followers.
None.
If they could see that.
Well, get yourself some.
I would. If I seen you do that, I would believe in your
no,
brand.
No.
I would become a Baptist, and I would look at everything that you've studied. I'd become. I'd probably see if I could work for you guys.
Well, get some healthy guys. Get several of them because I'm pretty good shape and I'm
okay.
Normally armed. So and I'm going to fight that tooth and nail. But I'll take out several on the way. But if you get enough guys to hold me down, then poison me. And we'll see if God protects me.
Okay.
All right.
I wouldn't want you to die anyway because I kind of like you. But
well, good.
I'd rather have somebody else do it.
All right. Hey, thanks for the program.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Bye bye. All right. Hip, join us here. Hippie writes in. How do radio halos form? Excuse me. Excuse me. Wow, I saw your seminar part 7. I wasn't too clear on your explanation about how they form. Radio halos on video 7. Go to halos.com, halos.com. Robert Gentry, probably their expert on this topic, but when a radioactive element decays or breaks down or falls apart, it sends off little, you know, fragments, like a little hand grenade. Poof, explodes. And if you can use the illustration of a hand grenade going off inside of a large block of jello, the fragments would all fly out and get stuck at a certain point. Kind of like the Matrix, you know, the bullet comes flying in and stops, okay? Well, the energy behind the particles that are flying out is different for each element as it decays. And so radio polonium has a very specific energy level, and it sends out these halos, and these little particles in all directions, and it makes a very distinctive little ring. We're talking real tiny. And this thing is... Obviously, by the diameter of it, they say, oh, that was made by polonium 218 or 214 or 216 because the diameters are all different. Who cares? Well, the fact that these polonium halos exist in solid granite is evidence that the granite was never a hot molten mass. When you melt granite down and let it re-solidify, it turns into rhyolite. It's no longer granite. Nobody knows how granite is made. Apparently, it's the Genesis rock. I don't know, but... Let's go to halos.com for more on that. Okay, Archangel Boy says, hey, Doc, I know your show is really about creation, but you're knowledgeable in lots of other areas. Do you find that your show is becoming more like a general Bible Answer Man type show? Oh, and does that bug you? No, it doesn't bug me. You can get any questions on any topic. And I think the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, does a lot of good. I'm not his enemy. I don't know why he's blasted me 15 times now on his program. Never gives me a chance to respond. Never calls me. Just take... Couldn't believe somebody wrote me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, Hanegraaff said, Hovind's all about the money. Right. Come drive my van with 120,000 miles on it. Your car's got
172,000.
Oh, you're way ahead of me, Albert. We're in this for the money, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. These are my $9 Walmart tennis shoes. Okay. Okay, here we go. Vlad Hab writes in, "Hello, Dr. Ovin. I sent you a message yesterday, but you didn't have time to answer. Text Mars. Yeah, I answered that earlier here. Vlad Cobb. Yeah, text Mars. If there's no link to text Mars, it's an oversight. There should be. I think what he does is great. Okay. Yeah, as far as his anti-Zionist stand, I don't know that I could give it a blanket recommendation. I mean, I think he's right on a lot of stuff. The nation of Israel is wicked and vile and ungodly. Now, we're commanded to bless them, and, you know, they are God's chosen people. So, and I don't know that the ones that are in the land now are really the right ones, and maybe they're not. Maybe the whole thing's a big, you know, maybe those aren't really Jews in there. Maybe they're, you know, intruders. Maybe that is the occupied territory. I don't know the answer to those things. I just know I'm going to try to do right from my perspective what God wants me to do and leave the rest up to him. Okay, here we go. Doug 1234 writes in, "My Christian friend got in an argument with a girl from the United Pentecostal Church. And at that church, they preach the false doctrine that in order to go to heaven, besides repenting and accepting Christ, you have to get baptized, speak in tongues, and get the Holy Ghost. Me and my friend know that's not true. We know that it's good to do that stuff, but to go to heaven, you just need to repent and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. So the argument was about the subject. She said to get all the Bible verses we can backing up that belief, and she, for what she believes, will do the same by Sunday. You know any good Bible verses like Romans 10:9, etc., to support that you just need to repent and accept Jesus to be your Savior?" The verse she used, Acts 2:38, but I was looking at it, says nothing about being saved or heaven. Well, Acts 2:38 says, you know, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Excuse me. If I say, you know, Albert's in jail for stealing cars, what does that mean? Does that mean we put him in, he's in jail because he stole cars, or they're going to teach him how to do it? Right?
Yeah.
No, that's not where that, of course, that'd be a bad example, because that's where they do teach people how to do bad things. Okay. But, no, he's in jail because he already did it. The word for can mean because of something that already happened. He's in jail for stealing cars. Okay. Well, you get baptized for the remission of sins can just as easily mean you get baptized because your sins have already been remitted. Because your sins are gone, get baptized. Okay. Well, like in Acts chapters 8, verse 37, you know, you get baptized. He said, "What, can I get baptized?" Philip, Ethiopian eunuch, said, "Philip, can I get baptized?" He said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, you may." And the Bible says if you believe, you are saved. And so if you believe, then you're allowed to be baptized. That's all. So no, I wouldn't use Acts 2:38. It's a silly verse to use for proof that baptism saves. That's the one they always use, but they're not reading that one right. I would point out the fact that there are dozens, if not maybe even 100 verses in the Bible that deal with the subject of salvation that say nothing about baptism. So if baptism was actually part of salvation, it should be mentioned every place where salvation is mentioned. John 3:16 doesn't mention it. Anyway, we'll take the rest of your questions, AD 72. You'll be first Monday when I get back. Sorry about that. We'll see you then, folks. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.